Hare Krishna. Is anyone prepared to live like this? Don't try to counteract misery, just accept whatever comes. Don't waste your time trying to improve your material condition, just endeavor to gain Krishna consciousness. Is anyone prepared to live like this? If we can, then we are completely liberated. This is a symptom of surrender to Krishna. Rakshishyatiti vishvaso goptritvevaranam tata. There are six symptoms of a surrendered devotee. Two of them involve this: having full faith that Krishna will protect us, and having no other hope for our maintenance than Krishna, not turning anywhere else. This is a revolutionary philosophy. Revolutionary in the sense that no one thinks like this. Don't bother trying for material happiness. Don't even try to counteract miseries. Whatever comes, comes. Just chant Hare Krishna. It requires great faith in Krishna to live like this. We know that story of that Muni. Who was that? That was Markandeya Rishi. He was doing his devotional practices, just living on the bank of the river. So he was asked, well, why don't you build a hut? He said, well, I'm only here temporarily. So his lifetime is so long that every time one Brahma dies, one hair falls out of his body. Every time a Brahma dies, one hair falls out of his body. And when all the hairs of his body have fallen out, then he leaves this body. And he's thinking, I'm here temporarily, why should I bother to build a house? Not many people are able to live at this standard of renunciation. Especially those who are householders, they have some social responsibilities to make some endeavor to provide for their family members, which is an entanglement. It takes away our energy from concentrating on Krishna consciousness. So that is his duty, to make some endeavor for financial development for his family members. But if he can have this consciousness that ultimately Krishna is maintaining, that is Krishna consciousness, it may be very frustrating to the family members who are expecting that our husband or father or son will work and bring lots of money and then we will live happily. But the Vedic literatures recommend yavan artha prayojanam, just work for as much money as you need, not more. Of course, we can increase our needs unlimitedly. In the modern age, they've invented so many new necessities. Especially in the Western countries, it is considered that a car is a necessity, not an option, not a luxury. And actually, society is set up in such a way that if you want to do anything or if you want anything, you have to go such a long distance. If you want to buy some food in the store, you have to drive 5 kilometers. If you need to see a doctor, you may have to drive 10, 15 kilometers. And things like TVs, VCRs, microwave ovens, washing machines, and on, and on, and on. So many things. These are considered necessities. People don't know, or they can't imagine that you can't live without these things. Therefore, the whole society is extremely complex. And people are entangled in working for and maintaining things that they don't actually need. So this increases the material consciousness and takes away the time that is required for understanding Krishna. That is why it's said that austerity is the wealth of the brahmanas. The ability to live very simply. In America, people have the idea of freedom means you can get in a car and drive down the highway at 100 kilometers an hour, go wherever you like, jump on a plane and go somewhere. But that is not freedom. One thing is, you may feel a sense of freedom, but you're being driven here and there by your senses. Another point is that you have to work to get money so that on the 2 days a week that you're so-called free, you can run here and there. But real freedom is sense control. The ability to say, no, I don't need all these things. There's so many advertisements, buy this, buy that, buy something else. But one who has enough self-control, he will say, no, I don't need this. There is always the desire, let us develop more and more economically. But one who can make the decision that, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to follow the general mass of people. One who is strong-minded enough to decide what to do with his life. He follows the regulated principles of spiritual life by which he becomes free from the pushings of the senses. In Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada has translated, talking about the regulated principles of freedom. So there are so many rules, do this, don't do that. That is called vidhi and nishedh. Vidhi means something that should be done. Nishedh means something that should not be done. So a devotee, he chooses to follow these rules and regulations. Not like a buffet, smorgasbord. Buffet means the meal is served and you choose some items which you want to take. Not like that, no. Rather, a devotee surrenders to the spiritual master, surrenders to the process of Krishna consciousness, and makes the decision that my life is meant for surrendering to Krishna. So implicit in that decision is to follow the process as it is given. There's so many rules and regulations are there, a devotee accepts them for the sake of advancing in Krishna consciousness. That is also another symptom of a devotee who has surrendered to Krishna. Anukal yasya sankalpa pratikul yasya varjanam. To accept everything favorable for advancing in Krishna consciousness and to reject everything which is not. So like that, not buffet, that while I like this rule, I don't like that rule, I'll follow this one, I won't follow that one. This is half chicken logic. Half a chicken. Ardha kukuti nyai means the logic of keeping half a chicken. Chicken? A man had a chicken and he got one egg from it every day, which he used to eat because he was a demon. So he was thinking, I like the backside of the chicken because I get one egg from it every day. But the front side is not very good because I have to pay to feed the front side. So I'll cut off the front side and keep only the back side. Then, no chicken, no eggs. So in the same way, we may like to follow some rules and not others. But the result is, we don't get Krishna's mercy. Sometimes we hear supposed to be devotees say, well, I'm following 3.5 regulated principles. Whatever that means, I can never understand. We take a vow to follow 4 regulated principles. That's the minimum, but there are so many other rules and regulations which are meant for our advancement in Krishna consciousness. So taking up Krishna consciousness means declaring war on material life. And these rules and regulations are our weapons and armor in the fight. The whole attitude of a devotee is different to that of a materialist. So many times we find someone takes to Krishna consciousness but their wife doesn't want to take to it, or their husband doesn't, or their mother doesn't, and there's some clash in the home. And we have so many anti-cult groups who make complaints that our son was very nice, but then he joined the Hare Krishnas, and then he wasn't nice anymore. He was a nice, normal boy. He had girlfriends and used to come home drunk. Growing up like a normal citizen. Now all he talks about is this philosophy, and he doesn't even eat the nice sausages that I cook for him. Very bad movement, Hare Krishna movement. So actually, materialistic people, they can't understand this. It's like black and white. Yanisha sarva bhutanam tasyam jagati sangyami. Verse is there that what is night for the materialist is day for the devotee and vice versa. This philosophy being spoken in this verse will destroy all your 5-year plans and economic development plans. The World Bank wants to invest so many billions of dollars in Russia. The World Bank, they may want to invest so many billions of dollars in Russia so that all the people can work hard and have new refurbished factories and develop the economy. And at the top of it all, someone who's already got far more money than they could even dream of spending will be making more money. This is considered advancement. Recently I was having a look at a book which was published in America must have been the late 1940s, just after the Second World War. So it was describing life in different countries around the world at that time. So it was describing about children in Italy, in a village in Italy, one of the things it was doing. Roberto and his sister Mariana going to school, and how they were walking along the country path without any shoes. And sometimes they were late coming to school because they had to help milking the cow and so many things. So now if you go to Italy, you won't find people without shoes. The economy is highly developed. They have achieved the pinnacle of material perfection. They have highways going here and there all over the country with cars whizzing here and there. Late 1940s, just after the Second World War. But now Italy's economy has developed and they have so many fast cars and everyone. There's no question of people going without shoes. But the condition of society is not very good. Last time I was there a few years ago, it was coming in the newspaper that the Papa, the Pope, he was appealing that don't let divorce spoil Italian society. And of course his appeal has no effect whatsoever. People will go to get the Papa's blessings, but they're not very interested in what he has to say, his moral instructions. All over the world, there's so many social problems. Maybe you know that Badrinarayan Prabhu, he was speaking about the condition of schools in California, that 50 years ago they made a survey, what are the main problems in schools? So 50 years ago the main problems were chewing gum in the class, children coming late for class, children talking in the class, and 50 years later the main problems are rape, murder, suicide, etc. In the government-run schools in New York City, I was just there, they told me, that it's a rule that no children can enter the school without being first searched for weapons. Because murder at school is a common problem. So despite all that economic development, what is the standard of society? And people, they express, we are shocked. Now there's a new phenomenon called, what is that called? Chain killing, in which someone, he kills one person, he kills someone else, he kills someone else. It's quite a common thing nowadays. Chain murders. And people are shocked when they hear about rape and murder. It's just, there's so many, but people are shocked every time. But why should they be shocked? The average child in America grows up seeing 6 murders on TV every day. And through the television, through advertisements, they are bombarded with sexually provocative material at every moment. Women are overly attractively dressed to stimulate the lusty desires in men. And then they are shocked when there is rape. And why are they shocked? They're shocked when there is murder. Why are they shocked? Practically they're training people to be bestial. And then when they behave like beasts, they express shock. They're promoting lust and greed and anger. All in the name of economic development. Because everything is, so many things are advertised. Buy this, buy that. Simply playing on people's greed. Human society is supposed to be developed in such a way that people's lust, greed and anger can be subdued and overcome. But capitalists and big businessmen have found it advantageous to promote the lower nature of people to get them to work hard and buy more and more things. If we make people more and more greedy, they will work more and more hard to get more and more material objects. But the result is that by promoting greed, lust and anger, all these three go together, then naturally people become subhuman in their attitude and behavior. So this advice, don't try to improve your economic condition, that is given even to those who are living in the elevated Vedic culture. So what to speak of those who are living in this modern demoniac culture? We say demoniac because the whole way of life is set up only for eating, sleeping, mating and defending. The modern society is absolutely devoid of knowledge of the purpose of life. Recently a survey, 80% of people in Russia believe in God. But how many people are interested in the goal of life? How many are interested to seriously understand God? They'll pay lip service to God and dedicate their life for sense gratification. So devotees are recommended not to get sucked into this vortex of materialistic civilization, vortex just like whirlpool. If you get caught in that, it's extremely difficult to come out. And we see that so many times, devotees, they're practicing their Krishna consciousness, then they get married, which we're not against per se, although no one should be naive about that. They should know that what they're going into is most likely to entangle them in so many extraneous endeavors. But so many times we see it happen that devotees just get completely sucked into their whole life, their whole time goes just for making money, that's all. And due to lack of sadhana, then they become materialistic, their outlook tends to become materialistic. And by associating with materialistic people, they also desire to acquire more material things as materialistic people do. There's an idea that to be respected in society, you have to have certain material things to show. So we shouldn't be taken in by this. Devotees should maintain their own standards. That even if our family members and neighbors don't understand us and why we're living, still we should stick to our standards. That we are interested in this, yavan artha prayojanam, simply earning enough money for our maintenance, not more. And balance time, engage in Krishna's service. Family members, they may be very upset because they have their own ideas. They have their own ideas how children should be brought up. They will say, you have to feed the children meat, otherwise they won't be healthy and strong. Why don't you let them watch TV? Why are you so cruel to them? Why don't you buy them so many nonsense toys? They won't say nonsense. They think it's very good. So when it's said that taking to Krishna consciousness is declaring war on material life, it's not just some theoretical idea, but practically, materialistic people will protest against this movement. If we consider what is the purport of this verse, if the world was to follow this, then all the multinational corporations would be finished. If people were to follow this, the whole basis, the whole economic basis of society would be spoiled. Because the whole modern society is based on work hard like an ass. Live like a dog, enjoy like a hog. And prepare yourself to become a dog in the next life. Prabhupada said that the modern leaders will force you to work like dogs and hogs and asses. And we see so many people are simply working, 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 working. But human life is not meant for that. Everyone should see, how am I living my life? Instead of being carried away by the waves of society, we should make a decision how we want to lead our lives. Everyone should be very thoughtful how to lead their life in such a way that they can develop Krishna consciousness. And not be, as Prabhupada mentions in this purport, like a dog wandering here and there for a piece of bread. If we can't lead our lives in such a way that we develop Krishna consciousness, then our whole life is wasted. We should know that very clearly. Krishna consciousness is not an idle hobby. We have got this opportunity to take up Krishna consciousness after many, many millions of lifetimes. So we should do whatever is required to become Krishna conscious. Even if materialistic people don't understand, they won't understand. We have to act in such a way that Krishna will be satisfied. Acting so that Krishna will be satisfied doesn't necessarily mean that we have to dissatisfy others, but in many cases it will. That same example, family members, they may desire so many things for us in the materialistic way. So although we won't go out of our way to dissatisfy our family members, we have to see first and foremost that Krishna is satisfied. And the clash of interest is almost always certain. A clash of interest, that means that we acting, if we act for Krishna, it may be not acceptable to others. Just like our family members may want us to eat meat, and they will be satisfied if we do that, but Krishna won't. So we have to choose whether to act in such a way that Krishna will be satisfied, or whether to act in such a way that our materialistic friends and relations will be satisfied. Usually it's apparently easier to act for the immediate satisfaction of so-called family members. But We don't get Krishna consciousness like that. Krishna consciousness means acting in such a way that Krishna is satisfied. So it's a great decision that every devotee has to take. To act for the satisfaction of Krishna, despite what anyone else may say. Of course, that requires some intelligence also, how to act in this world. Sometimes we see devotees unnecessarily agitating their family members in the name of becoming Krishna conscious. That is immaturity. But still, the basic principle remains the same, that our life is dedicated for the satisfaction of Krishna. That must come first. Hare Krishna. Is there any question, please? No, when we say we are free, we should understand what that means. By nature, we are not able to be fully free and independent. That is only Krishna. Only He is fully free and independent. When we say a devotee is free, it means he's free from the pushings of the senses. By taking shelter of the internal potency of Krishna, he becomes free from the tortures of the external potency. But a devotee's ambition is to be the dog of Vaishnav Guru Krishna. Vaishnav Thakur Tomar Kokor Janiha Balahomore. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings that I'm simply aspiring to be known as the dog of the Vaishnav, to be fully surrendered. So within that surrender, is there room for individual expression? Is there scope? Is there possibility? Yes, that is also our constitutional position. Our constitutional position is to serve Krishna. But we are all individuals. That is our philosophy. We are individual persons. When I say our philosophy, it means it's a fact. It's not just an idea. So training in Krishna consciousness means training to develop our true individuality. By coming to our original Krishna conscious position, then our true personality becomes redeveloped. Our dormant personality becomes developed. If we see the description of pure devotees of Krishna, just like described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, they all have their individual personalities. So Krishna consciousness means to bring out our true individuality. We see in the passages of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that some devotees are very strict and some are very liberal, and all different kinds of devotees. Just like, for instance, the guru may give an instruction, so go and distribute books. So the disciple follows that order. But exactly how he does it is an individual way of doing. Some are flamboyant in their approach, means like extroverted, vivacious. Others speak very quietly and softly to people. Sometimes devotees ask someone who's good at distributing books, how do you do it? What do you say to the people? So they go and listen, what are they saying? And then they go and try the same thing and they say the same thing, but it doesn't work. Because ability to distribute books doesn't come from any robot-like technique, but it comes from surrender to Krishna. And then Krishna inspires from within what to say to each individual in each circumstance. Any other question? Well, there are many different opinions about this, but better than giving another opinion, I can simply repeat what Srila Prabhupada said, which is better than any other opinion. Srila Prabhupada stressed that the children should learn his books as the best education. And he said they can also learn a little reading, writing, arithmetic, little geography, like that. And devotees asked, well, what about things like biology? And Prabhupada said, there's no need for that. So that's Srila Prabhupada's opinion. Nowadays, many people are very practical and they have different opinions. Talking about rules and regulations,